Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Things stoked up. Purton says, come on, boy. Show the Aussies what you've got. Kaying Rising moved up to overpass. Clear from Jimmy Starr, but Kaying Rising, champions do what others can't. He's the world's best sprinter, no doubt.
I'm thunderstruck, needing to get there. Alligator blood tiring. I'm thunderstruck over the top, rumbling hard, and got up. I'm thunderstruck, I reckon it's just beaten Alligator blood into beauty. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator blood, I'm thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat it.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. This is going to be a very humorous start to this podcast. Of course, this weekend is Ballarat Cup Day. It's also the Northerly Stakes at Ascot. It's just myself, Ben Colucci, and Will Alford on the podcast right now. Nico will join us very, very shortly. But Botta, you've just had the Racing.com Christmas party. You've got the shades on in the Uber. Tell me what's going on.
Man, I fucking lost one of the I'm completely fucking cast. I'm in the back of an Uber driving home from wherever the fuck I was. And, podcast is, it's like almost 10 o'clock now. So, podcast has got to start and, got responsibilities and all that sort of shit. So, podcast. Yeah, let's talk about Western Australia racing. Mate,
this is fantastic.
Who's even fucking racing over there, to be honest with you, man? Like, what are we talking about?
Don't know. Yeah. I'm going to try and keep a straight face for the next half an hour. I don't see the podcast going that long.
Yeah, good luck.
who's driving you at the moment?
I think it's... What's your name, mate? Hassan. Hassan's driving me right now.
Hassan. Well, good job to Hassan for getting you home safe.
Hassan's doing a great job of driving me, man, to be honest with you.
So, I'm sure he is. You're by yourself at the moment.
We're just driving to the northern suburbs of Melbourne. Just going through. I think we're on Nicholson Street right now. It's great, man. To be honest with you. So, windows down. It's a lovely night in Melbourne. So, let's talk about some racing.
Well, now's your opportunity to throw a couple of your mates under the bus from Racing.com. Who was best on ground at the Racing.com Christmas party?
Nah, we're not going to disclose of that. Probably me, to be honest with you, mate. I was just keeping a quiet profile. last time we were doing like a catch up drinks.
Wait, put your windows up a bit. Your audio has gone to shit.
Yeah. So what's his name? Andy Hode, Andy Hodes or something like that,
Andy Hode.
And head of racing Victoria, Aaron Morrison. I told him to launch that Chris Kieran Maher thing. That pissed him. What was his name? The good thing you backed as well. Tennessee Bound or something. Last time I told him to launch it. And they didn't listen to me, but it was like $1.30 by the time I told them to back it.
We got the early price. That's all that matters. Can I ask you why are you wearing Ray-Bans in the back of an Uber at 10 p.m. at night?
I don't know what they're called. I don't want to fall off, so, I don't want to lose them because they're expensive.
Smart. If you're even smarter, you don't take glasses out when you're on the SESH.
But it was sunny when I left, so.
Yeah, fair enough. That cool change came in real quick. It's like it all came in one burst. I was at training.
Yeah, I got out of the Uber and I was like, holy shit, it's cold.
It was so weird. It went from like really hot to really cold.
I was sweating my tits off and I was like, holy shit, it's cold.
Yeah, you don't have tits, let's be honest.
You're about as
flat chested as the next person.
No, I've been going to the gym recently, mate, so I'm joking.
Yeah. I highly doubt that. Spotify Wrap Water comes around at this time of year every year, and it's a little reminder to us that there actually is a fair amount of people that listen. So,
yeah, what the fuck do they do that to themselves?
I don't know.
I saw some bloke listen to like 3,500 minutes of us talking. I'm like, why would you listen to us that often? What a disgrace.
Can you imagine the people that are tuning into the first time tonight and this is what they've been dealt?
Mate, what's even more embarrassing is that your voice is on podcast is our podcast.
Yeah, but I have to listen to it and make sure like the sound and everything is good as well.
Mate, I couldn't possibly listen to myself talk.
We do this podcast. I don't listen to it at all before I put it up. So, like, there could be things I miss. I don't even really edit it that hard. But then I do listen to it afterwards just to make sure. Things go right. A special shout out to Luke Perozzi. His missus, he was listening to Racing Previews on his missus account, and he was in the top 8 listeners worldwide on her account. And she's gone and posted that on her story and tagged him in it. So that's good gear. I think we run at about 10% female listenership, and let's be honest, most of that is blokes that have logged into their missus accounts. That's what I was going to say. And the other little percentage is Bot's mum and my girlfriend. So if there are any other legitimate female listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. We do really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Can you try and be serious for 10 minutes, Bot? I don't know if the listeners even want that, but anyway.
Nah.
We're probably only going to have one more podcast next week, and then we're done for the whole year. That'll be Pakenham Cup Day.
This was the last one.
No, we're going to do one more because it's Hong Kong International Races next week. So we're going to do that.
Right, okay.
Mate, if you want to go out and bender on a Thursday night like you've done the last 2 weeks, then go for it. You don't have to.
No, I'll make an appearance.
I'm sure Nico and I will find a very special guest, much more special than you.
Who's the special guest?
His name may be Terry Layton, one of the WA pros. We're thinking about getting him on tonight, but we're just going to have to wait until... How do you not know any of these people? You live in a bubble, a Victorian bubble. You don't know anyone else who exists.
Okay. Apologies, Terry Layton.
Tell me what this track is doing. Ballarat Rail True. It's a soft 6 at the moment. Warm weather the next couple of days, but we could get 0 to 4 mils of rain on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll try to switch on. So basically, it's very warm weather, so we're probably going to be looking at a 5 to a 4. Good betting, reasonably good betting card, I would have thought. So, on pace and advantage, as always, is how I'm still operating. But, what do you think?
I'm probably thinking forward of midfield, as always. But I'm probably backing something in the cup that's going to be midfield. Hopefully it's a little bit more forward than that, but we'll soon find out. We'll start in race 3. It's a 1,200-metre Vobis Gold race. Harry's Yacht, $2.25 and favourite from Ground Control, $5.50. Prince Tycoon probably leads this race, $7.50. Kagamusha is $8.50 and Fluent is $11. This race brings up my best bet of the day. I hope you agree.
Yeah, no, I do agree.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, you go first, man. I'm cast. Right.
Bot's cast. Has someone given you happy gas or something?
No, mate. I'm just happy.
The bot giggles is just a thing. Are you going back out or what's the story?
No, I don't know. We'll see.
You'll see. You know the rules, Bot. Nothing good happens after midnight.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Everything good in our lives happens after midnight, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
Harry's yacht. This horse is an 80 rater. He's taking on sort of benchmark 64, benchmark 70 operators. Some of those are three-year-olds who are a little bit more inexperienced. What he did first up was sensational. It's in line with probably his peak rating. Three back at Caulfield is his number one peak in terms of form king, but he returned to somewhere near that first up at Bendigo. It was a really, really strong win. And he was held up on the turn, so I'm bonusing that even a little bit. He ran away from him. It was awesome. He's so well weighted here with 59 kilos. If this was a standard handicap, he'd be given these, 10 kilos? Something like that. He maps really well from barrier three with Ben Allen on board. I like the step to 1,200. He's probably going to be looking for 1,400 metres in time, but it's a nice little step up.
This is fine, mate.
This is it's not really a strong race. He's been taking on stronger horses than this.
You want to mention, mate, like, have a good night, yeah?
Last time.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for time.
As Bot's just getting home now.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Some of these obviously do have progression in them, but Harry's yacht is certainly the one for me. I guess the knock that some people will point out is the fact that he has never really strung two wins together, but I think that's more circumstantial than anything. I think he'll take care of these, and I'd probably have him closer to – I'd have him an odds-on quote in this spot. What about you?
Yeah, no, I don't mind you, mate. Good bet, yeah. I probably couldn't tell you why, but I marked him $1.90, sorry, and yeah, it's a good bet. Couldn't tell you why, but I got him, so good bet at 230. What price is it now, 230, best price?
Yeah, about 230, 225, 230.
Yeah, it's a good price. Yeah, take it.
All right, awesome. You've given us plenty of that.
Yeah, well, no. So basically last start, it was advantage to be on rail, and he was on rail, and he got off rail, and then he absolutely savaged the line, like fucking massive sectionals and all that sort of shit. So, he's a nice horse, probably better over 1,400 metres, I think. But
yeah, I agree.
But, you know, like his second up, I think, $2.30 is a good enough price to find out. I sort of thought, like $1.90, he's better than those, I would have thought. So $1.90 is probably my price for him, and $2.30 is a reasonable enough price to back him in.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I'd have him even shorter than that in my market. But
even shorter? Yeah.
I'd have him shorter than $1.90, but I can get pretty aggressive, you know me.
Yeah, I'm heading inside now, by the way, so
talk. Beautiful. Do we get a feature from Mrs. Bot?
Obviously.
All right, don't worry about it then. Have you been keeping track of how many cans deep you are? What's been the drink of choice tonight?
Dunwood. Hey, Mom, how you going? I'm on the podcast right now. I'm talking to Ben right now. Mom says hi.
Hey, Mom. She can listen back to this later. It'll be good fun. Yeah. All right, race four, Over the Mile. It's a benchmark 74. Dark Simba, $5 in favorite from Yes I Know, $6.50. Extreme Virtue, $7. Sneaky Sunrise, $8.50. England, $9. And Nations Call, $10. You're on your own here, Bot. I'm going to let you take this away because this is not a Ben race. This is a Bot race, $5 the field.
You know, Dark Simba's the bet here. Couldn't tell you why. I can't remember, but it's about, I think I marked it like $3.80, between $3.50 and $3.80, so I think $5 is the best price now. And nice bet, and I'll ready. So take that price, $5.
You couldn't tell us why you're backing it.
Well, no, it was at Caulfield last time, and it like ran nice sectionals, and it's a good horse, and they gave it three trials, I think. Ran really well first up, and they're going to go on with it second up and probably beat that field. I think $5 is a generous price.
Right, beautiful.
$3.80, I think, was my price. So, yeah, go with that.
I'll take that. You can rest your records now. I'm happy with that. Yeah, Just give us a little bit.
Yeah, fuck you, Ben. I'm giving you fucking. I'm being absolutely fucking outstanding tonight. Like, give me something.
Yeah, you are. This may be our most listened to podcast ever. We'll soon find out. I think Everest Day was number one this year. Don't worry, I've been in that couple times when we did the Oaks Day podcast on that Thursday night. I was in fine form as well, but I'm not a toucan Sam like you. Race 7 Ballarat, 1,100 metres, benchmark 100, Carbonados, $3.30 from Major Share. $4.20, South of India $5, Wigham $8, Clubbell $17, and Contemporary with the new stable. I believe this horse used to be a Godolphin horse. Is now with Lindsay Smith, is also $17. We've got some major news.
Carbonados.
Carbonados is coming out. You heard it first here on the Racing Previews podcast. He will run in Sydney, which means
Fringe.
Major Share and South of India will be first and second favourite, and I've backed both of them. I've backed Major Share at $4.60. I think even after deductions, I'll beat that price. And I've backed, so I took $4.60 Ladbrokes for Major Share, and I took $5.50 South of India on Bet365. And I think both of them will end up beating SP. Major Share, look, he's got some good ratings. He doesn't have like any outstanding peaks, but I just trust his form more than the Adelaide form. I think I just think it's more reliable.
Enlighten me.
I just think some of these Adelaide figures.
You don't trust them?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'll tell Dave Fun about that.
Well, they're thank you. So
I'm just fucking with you, mate.
This is brilliant. Yeah, well, Adelaide figures, and they're also carrying like 60 kilos over there. So Dave probably doesn't want to rate them too low. And then all of a sudden, you know, a horse like Wigham gets him with 53 kilos here and then gets the 3 kilo claim off its back, gets him with 50.
Sliders.
Of course the rating is going to look incredibly good.
Yeah, I just rate on Major Share as well.
Yeah. Like Major Share was awesome behind Stock A last time. That's Ray Magnerio form. Ray Magnerio was unlucky in that race. He ran well in a winter bottom. We've already seen Major Share.
How fucked Libertad winning a group one over there?
Well, it's not really a group one, let's be honest. Winter bottom is not really a group one. It's like a group two.
Do you remember that? Libertad winning the group one over there?
Do I remember that? Yeah, do I remember what happened like 4 days ago? Yeah, you absolute idiot. 5 days ago.
Yeah. Did you back overhouse?
Yes, yeah. I did. Thanks for rubbing that in.
Yeah, that's the answer I was looking for.
It's not really, the strongest of group ones, the winter bottom. Mahaba was extremely unlucky in the race last year behind Overpass, but it's bloody good enough form for a benchmark 100 at Ballarat, I tell you that. So Major Share goes on top. I think he's going to end up starting probably closer to $3. I think.
Remember when Marabi was like 2-1 at Ballarat one day?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it was a basketball that day, and I fucking launched it. And I remember, I threw my basketball game. I checked.
What was she? She was odds on, wasn't she?
Nah, she like drifted or something, and what a filler. Anyway.
Yeah. I remember she had to carry a lot of weight that day, but she was just simply better than them. She had like 60 miles.
Yeah. Tennessee Bound, like.
Yep. Yeah, they're actually very sort of similar profile.
Very similar, yeah.
Tennessee Bound does have a little ways to go to get to Marabi's level. Yeah. Major Share maps really well here. I think he'll come across and maybe sit outside lead. And I think the race will be between it and South of India. South of India covered a stack of ground last start in Sydney. Comes here second up, gets in with 51.5 kilos. Has good enough form to take out a race like this. But Major Share is clearly the bet. And he's already beaten Wigham home before. They ran against each other down the straight last preparation and he was too good for him. So any thoughts?
I remember when I backed a Godolphin horse down the Flemington straight one day. It was Oaks Day or something, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And Wigham won the race. You remember that race? Yeah. I think I was sitting next to you, actually. And I can't remember which Godolphin horse it was. Yeah, and Wigham fucking won.
Anyway. That was Melbourne Cup Day, wasn't it, you said?
Yeah, might have been. Maybe Oaks Day, Melbourne Cup Day. It was a horse that started with C. It was a Godolphin horse. It turned out to be like a decent enough horse.
It kind of snuck a little bit that day.
Yeah, what was it called?
Barber.
Nah. Barber was like the favorite, and there was a horse that started with C that ended up like that I backed. And then Damien Lane went like the other side of the Flemington Straight, and he fucked it. In the same race, look it up.
Stanislas.
Man, I thought it started with C, but maybe you're right. Yeah,
Yeah, that was the Godolphin horse at Damien Lane Road.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't good.
The memory's a little bit impaired tonight, isn't it, Bolt?
Touch.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Do you remember who won the Winterbottom on Saturday?
Libertad. Do you remember?
Well done. I remember. you're doing well. You're holding it together enough that we can complete this podcast, which is fantastic.
Am I better than Nico talking? Nico's not even fucking on you yet. Oh. I'm half cut.
Nico said 9:30. I'm coming on the podcast.
And it's now, fucking 10 o'clock.
Now it's 10 p.m. I'm like, mate,
he's actually unbelievable. Like, I'm
like, what else can you be doing on a Thursday night?
Hey, I've come home from a Christmas party or whatever the fuck we call it, and like I'm completely fucked yet.
Mate, so, your swear jar is like through the roof tonight. You're gonna have to pay a house deposit.
And like I'm in the Uber home, and Nico can't even fucking have the decency to jump on the podcast. What could you possibly be doing?
As you can tell, listeners, the give a shit meter has it's really fell off a cliff this week.
Mate, it's Ballarat Cup Day. Like, all you got to do is back. Got one more. O2 Vein, I'm probably going to back as well.
What race is that?
I don't know. I'm gonna back O2 Vein.
Your two Vein. Backed,
yeah, that one.
Yeah,
I backed
the Corfu last start. This is a good horse. It's just a draw. This is the Alicia McPherson horse who's won at Corowa. And then started odds on Caulfield Heath midweeks and just absolutely kicked their heads in.
Yeah, backed its odds on, mate. It's a really nice horse. It's bred on the same cross as Black Caviar. Bred to be good. Alicia McPherson's got it. Really nice horse. I don't think 1,000 was its go last time, but it's a really nice horse. I think it's going to win some races, so.
What are they going to do from the barrier? What's its map?
Well, like it's the kind of thing where if it drew one, I'd be kind of gross with it because
galloping room is sometimes better.
Yeah, like last time it was half flow away and not ideal. Like you want to like just build a cross on the wide barrier. Like I kind of like that it's drawn wide. Like I kind of prefer it. I can just sort of build a cross and do its thing and. I think it might end up being a really, really nice horse. As long as I haven't sold it at Hong Kong really already, so.
Yep.
So I'm going to back it and whatever I've backed, Timber and what's the other thing? Harry's Yacht. My three bets.
Yeah, you've got Harry's Yacht, Dark Simba, and Your Two Vein. So races 3, 4, 5. So there you go. Let's go to the Ballarat Cup.
Three consecutive races.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
You'll be flying. You might take a multi. Race 9 is the Ballarat Cup, listed 2,000 meters. Kingswood is now into $4.80 in favorite from St. George. What a tussle it was between these two greys on Melbourne Cup Day. It was like the greys race.
You would have thought it was a greys race.
You would have thought that the greys race never moved off Melbourne Cup Day to Oaks Day. I found myself complaining about that in the morning, but you know what? The punting god said, "Have this."
You got sat down as always.
I did. You fucking bitch. It was like, as soon as I did that tweet, like lots of people agreed, but, and then what happened in this race was just like, stuff you, Ben.
the greatest race on Oaks Day doesn't work. They should move back to Melbourne Cup.
Oh, 100%. So, it should be.
It's like one of the greatest spectacles. Like as a young person, like when I, like my favorite thing when I was younger, like my first ever memory is efficient winning Melbourne Cup in 2007. And like my favorite thing when I was younger was grey horses. Like grey horses are fucking so like awesome and like beautiful and shit. So, why would you not have it as like the main spectacle on Cup Day? Like, there's no like real other races.
Yeah,
right.
It's definitely a spectacle.
Yeah,
it should be when the most eyes are watching. Yeah. Quote bot, 2025 on the 4th of December. Greys are awesome and shit and beautiful. Love that. Back to the market. Air Assault, $6.50 from Poison Chalice, $7. Detonator Jack, $11. Berkeley Square, $12. Casino 17 is $13.
Nick's here. Perfect timing.
Nico, we've got Giggle and Hoot on the line here.
Why?
Because Bot's had two pale ales and he's out of control.
Two pale ales.
Oh, Nico's got a can in hand as well.
I need to after my What's day. Up? Fairly
good. Tell us about your day, mate. This podcast is going to go for about 45 minutes, so you may as well just, you know, add to it.
Just another day in the life of me, what I have to deal with.
Mate, finished at 10 o'clock my ass. What have you been doing, mate?
I finished work literally as it was being dark, and then I had to get home, and I've just sat hurdle after hurdle. It's just another day.
What happened, mate? Did a stone get caught in the lawnmower?
I got caught in the lawnmower. It dragged me in and spat me out.
Far out.
As does most things, mate.
We're just going to the Ballarat
Cup. Cooked in the sun today. It was. I don't know about you blokes, but it was. Mate,
I got sunburned too.
You don't get sunburned in the studio, mate. Absolutely beautiful. Air conditioned.
Especially with your makeup.
Wait, actually, Ben, do you get makeup put on you or not?
Yeah, you have to. Everyone does.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't need it, you fucking cunt.
This bloke is in all sorts.
No, the main reason you need makeup in the studio is because you get shiny forehead. So they need a lock.
To be fair, you do have a shiny forehead.
I do have a very shiny forehead, and I can sweat up a little bit, especially if I make a couple of mistakes on the mic. I start getting a little bit of sweat, a bit of perspiration build up on the forehead, which makes it even shiny.
I have noticed that.
Mate, you don't even watch racing.com. I would not be surprised.
I can't believe he's even asked if you wear makeup. Like, everyone.
You have to, in front of a camera. Anyone on TV, anyone in a movie is wearing makeup. It is what it is. But they get the makeup that is your skin color, so it like doesn't look like it too bad. So
wouldn't need it, mate. Though
it wouldn't improve you, bot.
Mate, you can play fucking Connect Four with that face, you little teenager.
Have a look at him.
Fuck you.
He looks like a meme right now.
So
Ballarat Cup. I'm back in Kingswood in this race. I know he comes up a kilo and a half from that Flemington win and does meet St. George a kilo and a half worse off of the weights, but what I'm banking on here is a little bit of improvement to come off that fourth up, and the biggest thing that he has in favour over St. George is the map. From barrier six, I think he lands midfield or forward of midfield even, one off the fence. St. George is probably going to have to go back unless Willow can produce an absolute gem of a ride, then he's a clear danger. But Kingswood was holding him to and through the line last start. I know that the 1.5 kilo swing is certainly something there, but
it should have been upheld.
That's up for debate. But I just think Kingswood profiles really well for this race. I'm sort of against the race that they all come through last week. Casino 17, Detonator Jack, and Poison Chalice. There was just a little bit of a yuck race. Casino 17 was good. It was a slow tempo, so coming off a slow tempo is probably a good thing when you're backing up off 7 days, but I just don't think that's the form. So I'm with Kingswood. I'd probably have Air Assault and possibly St. George's Dangers, but I just think Kingswood's going to get the right map. And he's going to put three lengths on St. George when he's going to be, you know, three, four pairs behind him, and the race might just be shot to bits there. Nico or Bot, what do you think?
Well, I haven't even looked at Ballarat. That's how much time I've given it. But just looking at the race right now, Air Assault, if he jumps and goes forward like he did two starts ago, he'll be very hard to beat in a race like this. But if
I could have something on him as well.
If it's a repeat of last time, well, no chance. Poison Chalice.
He missed the start, didn't he?
In the Cranbourne Cup. The thing with Aerosold is, like, he doesn't have a whole lot of gate speed. So, like, inside barriers are negative for him. So, he doesn't have, like, a whole lot of gate speed, but he's got, like, speed. Yeah, well, so, he can, if you, like, a strong speed. But, like, if they cross him early, like, it's game over for him. So, he's got to be in the first sort of four, I think.
He's got to have his, like, ears ridden off to hold the front.
Yeah,
man. Jason Holder was fucked up last time. Like, how is Sabage in front of him by that 100-meter mark? That was honestly,
he ran well considering the run he got.
Yeah,
he ran amazing. Like, but I fucking backed him, and it was a car crash because Sabage was in front of him, and I knew I was fucked like the halfway point.
Yeah, well, Sabage is probably a better horse than Air Assault, but he didn't have any favors. But
yeah, well, obviously Sabage is the better horse. Everyone knew that, but like the whole point was. Aerosol was going to be in front of him at Cranbourne. Like, yeah, that was the whole point of backing Aerosol. But Jason Holder had other ideas, I guess.
That's why races aren't really run on paper all the time. You've got to use your brain and dissect it.
Don't talk to me about using my brain.
Well, you don't use your brain ever. We know
that. No, I don't.
But data and speed maps aren't everything. Poison Chalice, what a disappointing horse he's turned into.
Yeah. I don't think being ridden upside down last start really helped him, but still.
He could be one of the most Goldilocks horses I've ever seen.
What happened to Aerosol? He didn't run that badly because he led. Don't fucking try and talk to me like that. Like, he didn't run that badly because he led.
Every horse can lead.
I don't know, mate. I've got no idea, but like, it wasn't because he led.
He's been a get back run on horse his entire life.
That's not why he ran so badly.
Can he win?
I marked him like fucking $18. Like, I'm not going to back him. No.
Can Berkeley Square win? Last year's winner.
No, because he's drawn wide and he's going to go back.
He drew wide last year and went back. That's his pattern.
Well, so can I talk about my opinion or?
Yeah.
Can I go?
The floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Cheers. So basically, if like all things being equal, St. George, I'd mark like inside 3-1 and I'd back him.
Talk real odds.
He's going to go back. But
$4.
Inside $4, yeah. So, but the problem is, with St. George, and that day where Positivity won, I think it was the that 700-meter race at Caulfield, he went forward that day. Like, he has the ability to... Yeah, 17, that's what I mean. Yeah, 1700-meter race. I can't remember what it's called.
I think it's the Heatherly.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. The one that No Effort won a couple of times. He went forward and, like, he has the capacity to go forward. They haven't done it the last couple of times, and he's been, like, an eye-catcher the last few times and, like, a sectional star sort of thing. If they push the button on him, which I think they could possibly do, over 2,000 meters third up, like he could absolutely fucking monster them.
Yeah, he could.
And like it, all things being equal, like if map wasn't a thing, and I wish it wasn't because map is like the bane of my existence. He would be a great bet. Like, if they went really hard, he would get a really nice run into the race and he would just win because I think St. George is a much better horse than the opposition. He's going to probably settle last because that's what they do. Like, there's not a whole lot of pace and he's probably going to run into third or fourth. So, I completely, like, get the whole thing with Kingswood because he's going to probably settle in the first six and he's going to get the same conditions he did last time and he's going to run the number he did last time. But George is probably a slightly better horse than him. But also with Kingswood, he's only been past 2,000 metres, I think, once or twice in his career in Australia. And Gav's done a really good job with him. And I think 2,000 metres might be what he's looking for. So you could sort of argue whether Kingswood or St. George should be favourite. And I'm sort of like not really sure which way it should be because the map says Kingswood should be favourite. Like, overall ability, I think if they go fast and St. George gets a nice run to the race, then St. George should be favourite. I think he probably wins, but I'm not really sure. And they're probably both probably about the same price, aren't they?
$5 each.
Yeah, so I think that probably, like, when you really think about it, and I have sort of thought about it, like, throughout today, I'm like, who should be favourite? And I don't really know, so I'm probably not going to bet. But it's a really interesting race, I think. Maybe, when's the Pakenham Cup? Because is that next week?
Yeah, okay.
So maybe what the whole plan is with St. George is like
back up
on the quick backup and into the Pakenham Cup. But yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. But
that's a whole lot of dribble for no firm opinion.
But what I'll say is Gav wanted to run into the Gav wanted to run Kingswood in the race that 17 won last week, and he wanted to run Kingswood on a good track.
You should get the good track on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'll shut up. Yeah, whatever.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
For listeners who have been listening to this podcast for the last 2 to 3 years and always frequently in our Spotify Wrapped. We thank you very much. Those listeners are just finding out for the very first time after listening to this podcast for 1,000 days or maybe more that Will Alford actually does have a personality.
Fuck you.
All you have to do is put a little bit of alcohol in.
No, I do have a personality, mate. Fuck you.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Shut up.
You're boring. You're a boring old sod.
Just own it.
No, I have a personality, mate.
No, you're boring and you're meant to be boring.
I can't wait until your mum listens to this.
Fantastic. I love it. Nico, where do you want to start for Ascot?
Well, I've only got two bets, races 8 and 9.
All right.
It's a very sort of...
It's terrible. It's a terrible day of racing, let's be honest. And that's why I couldn't give a shit if bots had 10 cans and whatever else. But you know what? We'll keep kicking on. That's all that matters.
100%.
Race one is interesting. I think this is a bit of a two-horse race. Rail's in the true position. It's a soft five. Royal Toronado is on the back up here. Gets Winkers off, gets Blinkers on, comes off a slow tempo, zipped home. I think it's a two-horse war between the two Grant and Alana Williams horses. Trio is $4 and gets Nash on board and ran third behind Awesome Boy and Noteworthy. So I'm not exactly sure which way I'm going to go there just yet. All will be decided on the 6 day racing. Let's go over to race 8 now. This is a fascinating contest. Listed race, the Town Cup or the Towton Cup, 2,200 meters. Obviously, this will be one of the main lead ups to the Perth Cup. Forever Boy $4.60, from Captain Pluto $4.80, Buckets Ridge $9, First Encounter $9.50, Demolish $13, and Stormageddon is also $13.
What the fuck is Grand Piero doing over there?
I should probably read out his name. Lavalier, $14, ex-Godolphin, and Grand Piero is on a Perth Cup, March, $15. Going down even further, Simply One Last Start, he's $18.
Lavalier, I backed that horse. He's a half to Pericles.
Yep, he is. And he's now racing in WA with the Parnhams. And Filthy Habits, I mean, this horse has only beaten 2 lengths last start, will lead this race, and is now out to 21s.
And look who's Nico. Riding it.
Mickey D. Mickey D on Filthy Habits, I've got to back it. I've got to back it.
Well, there was a horse that was a certainty beaten in this race last start.
Buckets.
Yeah. Why is it not $5?
It's just, I mean, it's got top weight.
It's going to be the same sort of race shape again, but
honestly, I like it.
Well, you know, an extra 100 metres is only a plus. It's going to be a hard watch again, but, you know, it's a very sort of even race and his best is the best in the race. If he can put two good runs in a row together, well, I think he's an easy enough bet at the quote. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's an open race and anything could win and it wouldn't surprise you, but...
What's pike riding?
I think at the price.
Captain Pluto. Captain Pluto ran okay last start, but he was beaten at a short quote.
Yeah,
I'll probably win, won't it?
What was that?
Captain Pluto probably win because bike's riding, isn't it? Isn't that how it goes over there?
Simply won the race last start.
The problem with Pike sometimes is that he gives his horses a lot to do. So this horse is drawn by
like
a 13.
His whole thing.
Yeah, like he rides them for a turn of foot. And he gets them to switch off, which is – Pike is brilliant at getting horses to switch off and produce a huge final 400-meter sprint, but sometimes he does give them too much work to do. And that could be the scenario here. Buckets Ridge, I do like the tip, Nico. Demolish rates really well coming into this. He's going 1,500 to 22, which is a bit of a grey up. Grand Piero, I'll probably will honestly have something on this horse, $15. If he strikes back better to his better form, then $15 is too big. And Filthy Habits, just to piss Nico off, I might take a little bit of $21 there as well.
Watch it.
Grant Fierro is a good horse.
He is. He's
backed him a couple of times.
He's definitely a good enough horse to win a race like this, and even maybe a Perth Cup. But this does feel like a bit of a roughies race, Nico. It wouldn't be surprising at all if something at a big odds won.
Yeah, well, $8.50 is big enough.
Yeah. $9 top price. All right, let's get to the Group 1. Northerly Stakes, Group 1, weight for age, 1,800 metres. Of course, this used to be called the Kingston Town Classic. The 3-year-old is King of Light. He's now $2.30, gets in with 52 kilos. He's unbeaten. Pikey has won this race on a few star three-year-olds in the past, including Perfect Reflection and Arcadia Queen. How could we forget that? Western Empire should have won this race as well. Was caught three and four wide when Pikey was on. Got run down.
When you backed it, Ben?
Yep, I had a big bet on it. Regal Power.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind you.
Thanks, mate. You can go now. Ballarat's done. You can actually piss off and never come back. Cosmic Crusader, $6.50 from Western Empire, $9. Vivier, $9. Watch Me Rock, the Railway winner, $11. Apulia, $21. And Diamond Scenes is $23. Nico, what's your summary of this race?
Well, I'm just going to go rinse and repeat. I think he ran super last start. He just got beaten by a horse who was handicapped to win the race. I think you'll get a similar run in transit this time. And, yeah, of course, King of Light's a very good horse, and I love him as a horse and a horse moving forward, but he's getting short enough, I think. You know, the way he's trending, he could start odds on. So I'll have something on him, providing he doesn't get stupid short. But I'm chips in Western Empire. I can't believe you could still sort of get $10 this morning.
$12 yesterday he got out to.
Yeah, it's madness. It's third up, crazy, which is exactly what happened this time last year when we pulled off the plunge in the Gold Rush.
The plunge.
It was a stupid price there as well.
And he drifted. He was like $4.60 out to $9 or $8 that day as well.
I don't reckon he was quite that big. Nah, I don't think he was. But can you just shut up?
He was completely out the gate.
You know, I've actually got the ability to do this and mute Bot from the host seat.
He's muted me.
Good. He needs to be.
All right, I'll shut up. Yeah,
1,800 metres is definitely going to be no issue for him. And, you know, he's trained to the minute. I think he's going super this prep. Third up is where he shows his best. And, you know, he's battle hardened, and you know what you're going to get from him.
Yeah.
King of Light.
I agree.
Could do it. Looks like he will do it, but he's still got to do it. Like, you know, this is the acid test. Yeah, I think Western Empire is one of the best $8.50, $9, $10 bets I've seen probably since I've been involved in racing. Like,
huge.
It's a massive price for the best horse in the race with
at weight for age now,
with
as well.
a lot of boxes ticked, really. Like, he doesn't. I can't sort of fault him, you know?
No, he was awesome in the Railway. Watch Me Rock just had the 4 kilo swing on him, but now he gets that 4 kilos back away for age. I think he'll turn the tables. I think the market in terms of the favourite order is close enough to right, but King of Light looks short. I would have him more like $3, $3.20. I've got him for a result in futures. I've got Western Empire for a result in futures. And the two horses that I've backed at prices that you can still probably get a quote for, Cosmic Crusader, I took a bit of eights there for. You can probably still get close to sevens. And Diamond Scene, $26 as well. I'll start from the bottom up. Diamond Scene, he's on a Perth Cup preparation, but I still think he'll run really well here. He was the one they smashed in betting in that Railway. He draws wide, so that's probably no help. Western Empire, coming up to weight for age, third up, that was the exact recipe he won the Gold Rush in last year. And if William Pike was riding Western Empire, and let's say that a Brad Parnham was riding King of Light, the three-year-old, Western Empire would be $5 here.
Do you reckon it's about a jockey, Billy Egan or William Pike?
William Pike. Don't ask stupid questions, Bob. Come on. It's too late in the night.
Put him back on
he couldn't make it to Victoria.
It's too late in the night to be asking silly questions like that. Billy Egan is a great jockey, a fantastic jockey. But do not disrespect the champion.
Yeah, but if he rolls his sleeves up, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, the sleeves will be up.
Sleeves up, Billy. You can't beat him.
sleeves he gets up, a good I'll map. Tell you what. He give him a fair crack.
Yeah, just like he did third up last year for me.
Sleeves up on the race course and sleeves up on Chapel Street. Billy absolutely dominates. Cosmic Crusader, this horse brings the best weight for age rating into this. He won at a short quote. In the Carbine Club, he probably would have gone very close in the Railway. He draws well in nine. I like that draw. And King of Light, he's priced too short, I believe. He's priced like he's probably priced more like Arcadia Queen was, and he's not Arcadia Queen. He is very, very good though, and it wouldn't shock me if he came out and won. He's looking for 1,800 metres. All of his late strength in all of his races has been sensational, and 52 kilos is a luxury. So you can expect a new career peak for him. I think that's an obvious thing to forecast, but yeah, I just think he's a little bit short, but nonetheless, he will be a result for me. All right. Any other bets? Nico, how's the golf going?
I had a dream last night that Fred Kersley and Ossipenko won the Northerly.
That's not happening from barrier 17.
I don't know why.
All right, Botta, I'm going to ask you a question now. You can either
go for it, mate.
Say yes or no.
Okay.
Would you like a 1 week contract for the podcast multi?
No.
No. Go All fuck right. yourself.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. We don't want you anyway, but I just thought there's no special guest on. Thought I'd just throw the bone out there, and I probably would have placed some rules on it. Like, it's got to be less than
$3.50.
I'll take Harry's yacht.
Harry's yacht, because that's my best bet as well. Race 3, number 1, Ballarat.
When it gets beat, you know why.
Nico, you will take?
I'll take Western Empire the place.
And I'll take Kingswood the place in the Ballarat Cup. I think that's a very, very sensible multi. That's the word I'm looking for. All right, let me scroll to some questions. 10 of the best on the Twitter feed. Danair says, the better filly in the autumn, Apocalyptic or She's an Alibi?
She's an Alibi, bud.
Yeah, She's an Alibi.
Yeah, that's not a hard decision. She's an Alibi is a better horse. Ryan Patton, with the podcast trending globally, is there space for some Racing Previews merch down the line? Maybe Bot has some spare time to design some gear. Sir William Alford, Progeny Fiend, fashion designer.
If I can find some time, I'll probably be a fashion designer. I could say that. I could see myself doing that.
If you can find the words to actually speak, you might actually make it in this racing game. But until that happens, you'll be typing. You'll be typing articles, mate. we actually did get some shirts made ages ago, and they had our three heads on them sitting in a car. Remember the Racing Preview shirt I've got?
Oh, I don't know where that went, actually.
There's some possible merch down the track.
Yeah.
I don't know if I threw that.
Oh, actually, we did get the Racing Previews jackets for the bull.
So yeah, got that. Yeah.
So, yes, the answer is yes. Willie Pike, he's an avid listener, and he's on Twitter, at Willie Pike. Willie's asking for our best bet at Ascot.
Western Empire.
I'll go with Western Empire. King of Light is probably the other one. T-Bone AI, best intro to a podcast in the known universe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We wholeheartedly
agree. Leo Kavanagh, Hemlocks don't any chance in the Northerly. If the pace is on, surely an each way chance at odds.
No. Not for me.
This horse is on a Perth Cup camp. Isn't this the winner of the Perth Cup last year?
Stand by.
It is. He beat Diamond Scene at 80-1.
Didn't Young Werther go there last year?
Yes, he did. Another one from Leo. Any concerns Western Empire peaked too early? His trials were better than usual and flew first up and then a little bit plain in the railway.
I don't think he was plain
in the railway. Yeah, this is the grand final third up. I think he went really well. Like, I know he had every chance, but 4 kilos and Pike just rode, watch me rock a treat. I've taken a head-to-head bet with someone just at even money that Western Empire beats Watch Me Rock Home, and he was happy to give me $2 for that. So I gave him $2, he gave me $2. It's
on Twitter?
50-50 square bet.
Did you say?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, good luck getting paid out, mate.
Well, Leo listens to the podcast. It's another Leo, not this Leo, but he'll be paying me out. And if he doesn't, he can kiss his Twitter account goodbye, because I will roast him. He'll pay me.
No, good luck, mate.
Boom punting. Could this Ballarat meeting take the cake as the worst ever Saturday Metro meeting?
Depends if my horses win or not, mate.
Do we even count it as a Metro meeting? I know it's a Saturday.
Yeah, of course it does. It's Ballarat Cup Day, mate. Of course it does.
But it's not a Metro. It's not Metro.
Ballarat's not Metro. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a cup meeting.
I guess it's a Saturday cup meeting. Yeah, it's not great. Let's be honest. It's not fantastic. But
I have seen worse.
Julian, based off your Spotify Wrapped, what would everyone's SEN track play it song be? This is a fantastic question.
What?
What would your number one play it song be?
What does that mean?
Like after a horse wins, what's the song that you're putting on the JBL or the UE Boom?
When I just went around the house.
This is mine. Track.
Mine would be
Everyone's a Winner.
The Days.
The Days by Avicii.
No, by what's the other fucking, what's it called? Let me find it.
Oh, this one.
Yeah. That'd be me.
Yeah, decent. What's yours, bot? Frank Sinatra or something?
I just do like laps in the house and stuff. So I'm not really listening to music.
And the personality's gone again. Coops Owen, what was your favourite Group 1 of 2025?
Observer winning the derby. And it's back.
I'd have to hang my head in shame if I didn't choose Kaying Rising's Everest. It was a fantastic film.
Oh, mate, Ben was literally like on the verge of tears when Kaying Rising won. It was beautiful scenes. Like everyone was so happy. Ben was like genuinely on the verge of tears.
It was one of my top three moments on a race course.
Top three fucking moments of life, I reckon, for you almost.
Like Kaying Rising winning the Everest. Golden 60, being able to see Golden 60 and Romantic Warrior both win with Bish in Hong Kong, that's right up there. Romantic Warrior's Cox Plate is right up there. And the other one that always comes to mind is the Magic Millions Day.
When you won like 100,000.
Oh, it wasn't quite that much, but when Coolangatta won the 2-year-old race and King of Sparta won the 3-year-old race, and we backed both in futures heavily, that was the first time I'd ever had a 4-figure bet on a 2-year-old. It came off. That was that goes almost to number one. But yeah.
I remember that.
What's your boy's favorite race ever? Like moment on a track?
Oh, well, I can't say Nature Strip because I never saw him win.
Thunderstruck beating Alligator Blood's good.
I was there for my birthday.
Yeah, that was really good.
Probably Animo's Cox Plate would be up there.
Yeah, for sure.
One of my favorites was when Alligator Blood won the Champions Mile and I backed him. That was a good day.
Swords of Boy winning the Gallywood.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was good. And yeah, Observer winning the derby because it was like everyone told me I was wrong, and then I told them, no, fuck you, I'm right, and then that's proven that I was right.
Well done. Well done. Nico, who's winning the golf, says Coops. It's a bit up in the air, isn't it?
Right now or
who do you think's gonna win and what's the leaderboard right now?
Well, it's a bit sort of here, there and everywhere. I'd love to see Rory win it, but he's going to need a good round tomorrow. Elvis Smiley played super today. He looked he looked pretty silky and nothing sort of bothers him. So, yeah, hopefully Royal plays like Royal, hard, fast, unforgiving, makes good golfers look stupid. And, hopefully it rears its head come the weekend. Yep. But, it'll be good coverage. Minwoo Lee looked good today. It's a pretty even bunch at the moment. So
he is him.
He is.
I've got a very funny Melbourne Royal golf story. I went and played there with Archie one time. His dad. This was like during COVID times when everyone was playing golf.
Yeah.
His dad knew a mate who was a member at Royal Melbourne, and I think Archie's dad thought like, you know, we must be decent if we're playing like most weeks. We weren't. But I was still a little bit better than Archie.
Yeah.
So we went with a bloke who was a member. He took us to play. And Archie's first tee off, it's got to be the worst shot I've ever seen. And everyone was just like watching because it's, you know, hole one at Royal Melbourne and everyone's sort of standing around. And I've like tried my best not to piss myself in laughter. and it was just the funniest moment. And I don't think this bloke didn't know what he was in for. He didn't know what he was in for. Archie's just sliced one into the car park, and this bloke had just gone, oh, my God, this is going to be a very long day. And it was just secondhand embarrassment.
They're very different.
Oh, mate. It was so, so funny because everyone else is like got half an idea about golf there. And meanwhile, Archie's having six shots and the bloke's telling him, just pick the ball up, mate. We've got to move on to the next hole.
That's the best.
It's the best. Last one from Coops Owen. How many of you have had the cricket up in the background while recording the pod? I haven't, but I can tell you that England have teed off a little bit. They've made it to 325, which isn't a bad score. They're nine down, Root's on 135, and Jofra Archer has made some runs as well. That is stumps, so we'll bat tomorrow morning. Hopefully we get that wicket very shortly, but England's actually made a decent total in the end after we had them two for none, or two for 10. Yeah, Mitchell Starc. The main thing is Starkey's. I took a little same game multi, just Starc to get 5 wickets, Australia to win, and Travis Head to make over 66.5 runs was his line. That was paying $4 at the jump, so give that strength.
Beautiful.
All right, Nico, next week, Terry Layton coming on the podcast?
Yes, confirmed.
Beautiful. That'll be our last podcast of the year, and we probably won't do one until Magic Millions weekend.
Yep, correct.
So we need a little hiatus. But you've been absolutely outstanding tonight. You've been best on ground.
Man. Oh, no, I have.
What do you do now? Do you pop another bottle or do you go to bed?
To be confirmed.
To be confirmed. Well, I hope you find some mates and can head down to maybe
find some mates. Go fuck yourself, cunt.
Well, you asked us if we wanted to come out, and we're not coming out with you, so
it's a Thursday night. So like, I'm fucking, there's not many options there.
Just go to Electric by yourself and stand in the corner like a little weirdo. Yeah, that'd be funny. The lines won't be long. At least you'll get in.
Go to Revs.
You know you want to.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Right. Good luck this Good weekend,
night.
Punters.
Good night, punters. Love you
See
all.
See you next week. Last one of the year. Cheers. Comatose, yeah.